Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Genesis with Pastor Dave. In today's study, in the book of beginnings, we will see that it's easy to do the right thing and honor the Lord when people are watching, but it's a whole nother thing to do what is right when no one is watching. Now let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Genesis chapter 40. We hope you're blessed.
And here are these officers of Pharaoh's come into the prison that he is in, and he is worried about why they are sad. You see, as I've said so many times before, the greatest way that God ministers to us is by ministering through us. So many times we're going through and we think, God, we need a word. I need a word for myself. I'm coming to church tonight. I need somebody to pray over me. I need somebody to minister to me. Forget this guy, Brent. We don't even know him. Do you guys know what I'm going through? And we can be so selfish. And man, I need everybody to, you know, feel bad for me and pity me. And just, you know, I want everybody to just, you know, just make a big deal for me. And God says, hang on a minute. The more that you do that, the more that you wallow in your woes, you're going to just sink. Get your eyes off yourself. Look to see what's going on with people around you. Joseph was attentive. He was discerning. It says that he looked and he noticed the expressions on these guys' faces. Many of us would be like, I don't care what's on their faces. I'm in prison right now. Now, we don't know. A lot of Bible commentators say that Joseph was in prison for some 11 to 13 years. I disagree with that. He got in Egypt when he was around 17 years old. He stands before Pharaoh in chapter 41 at 30. We'll find out at the end of this chapter, he's in prison for another 2 years before that event takes place. I don't think he was in prison that long. I think it was probably more a year or two before these guys got in there. Whatever the case is, I don't know about you guys, but I know about myself. I don't even want to spend a night in prison, right? Have any of you ever been through the Monroe County Jail? Have any of you ever been in any jail? It's not a place you want to be in, is it? I can remember going through tours there. And in fact, I just was there recently doing a visit. I don't want to spend more than, you know, 20 minutes seeing somebody there. And then I want to get out right away. I want nothing to do with being in jail. It's a very oppressing, depressing place. And Joseph's there, and we're told that he looks at their faces, and he sees that they're sad. And he doesn't throw his hands in the air and say, oh, please, you're sad? You've been here for 24 hours. You have no clue what it's like to be suffering. You want to know what happened to me? I've been beaten by my brothers. I've been rejected from my brothers. I've been thrown in a pit. I've been pulled out, sold into slavery to strangers. After I was sold into slavery to strangers, I was stripped down naked. I was completely inspected as if I'm some object by people that were bidding for me. I went into this man Potiphar's house. I did all the right things. I honored my master. And then I was accused of rape. And now I'm in prison. And I've been here. And you are going to walk in here with a pouting face? Get that puss off your face. How many of us would have felt that way? And it says that Joseph notices that they're sad. And he says to them in verse 7, why are you looking so sad today? That's a merciful tone right there, isn't it? Hey, what's going on in your life? How many times do we stop and ask the Lord, Lord, make me discerning of those around me. Forget what I'm going through tonight. Who cares? Because listen, guys, I need you to understand something because I'm in the mix of everybody, so I know. Everybody here is going through something, okay? Sometimes we get disillusioned and we think that we're the only ones going through trials. A news flash for you tonight. Everybody around you is going through something. You are not the only one. Jesus did not say that you alone, Dave Tomaso, will be the only one who suffers tribulation and trials. No, he said, be of good cheer, that you in general, you as the church, that you are all going to suffer as he did, tribulations and trials. But be of good cheer because he has overcome the world, amen? And so this is something that we're all experiencing. So when we walk in these doors, when we walk into Wegmans, when we walk into our workplace, when we walk into school, when we hang out with our friends, when we're with our families, don't always be a whining, pouting Christian. That is the most annoying people to be around. Honestly, this is what the study's all about tonight. People who are always complaining. Christians that are complaining are a terrible witness. People that are, well, I can't pay my bills. I can't pay the mortgage on time. I don't know what I'm going to do, man. You know, do you believe Jesus died on the cross? Of course I do. I've been saved for 30 years. So you believe that through him going to the cross and shedding his blood that your sins have been cleansed, they've been washed away, and that you're going to go to heaven because of his redemptive work? Absolutely I do. That's besides the point. I just don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. What? How does that even make sense? What is money to God? He made food fall from the sky. He kept the Israelites' shoes from falling apart for them for 40 years. He made water come out of a rock. He raised the dead, and you don't know how you're going to pay your bills? How small and stupid we make our God look so many times. No wonder why so many unbelievers are like, I don't want anything to do with your God. You can't even pay your bills, and you're freaking out about it. I'm so sad. My kid has a cold. Your kid has a cold? Is that what you just said? We have people that are going to this church where their kids can't even hold their heads up at the age of 10 because they have such serious degrees of mental retardation. And you're complaining because your kid has a cold? You see what I'm saying? We complain about something. Yeah, but you don't understand. My child, my husband, my wife, they've been struggling with this illness for years. Did you just watch that video? Did you just see this young man who's done nothing but serve Jesus Christ for the last decade? He's 32 years old, and he has an inoperable tumor on his brain. Stage 4 cancer with children. And you what? You see what I'm saying? I'm not demeaning your weakness. I'm not demeaning your trial. Jesus said, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. But what I am saying is get your eyes off yourself. Stop being so selfish. Stop walking in and wanting everybody to give you attention and to just pout over you and give you a pity party and woe is you, you're going through so much. Half of what we go through is because of our own actions. We've inflicted most of our pain, past sin, things that we got involved with in the past that the Lord would never have had us to. And that's not always the case, is it? I mean, in this world, you will experience trials and tribulation. You can live perfectly. Look at Pastor Chuck. That's as perfectly gets on this side of eternity as a human goes. And he's got lung cancer. He wasn't in the studio tonight doing Pastor's Perspective because he just had a radiation treatment today. Is that fair? If you want to call terms fair, is that fair? This man who's 86, who's done nothing but serve God for over 50 years, 60 years, he's asked to have, this is how he has to go out. This is how his life has to end. If anybody deserves to die in their sleep, is it not Pastor Chuck? Right? And he's suffering with cancer. Stop looking at yourself. People all around you are suffering. People all around you are hurting. Have the heart of Joseph. Have the heart of Jesus. Look upon other people's faces. Discern what they're going through. Care what they're going through. And be merciful to them. Why are you sad? What's troubling you? It's troubling me that something's troubling you. You want to know, you want to give yourself gauges to know how much you're like your Lord when you start worrying about others above yourself. What's troubling you? Because honestly, what's troubling you is troubling me. When you start feeling that way, you're becoming like Jesus. When you start wondering, what is going on in your world? Because all of a sudden, when I see that something's going on in your world, what's going on in my world really doesn't matter. I want to know more about you. I want to know how I can pray for you. I want to know how I can encourage you. I want to know how I can minister to you. That is a solid Christian. Somebody who is esteeming others above themselves. Joseph said, what's going on? You look sad. And in verse 8, they said, we have dreamed a dream. Now, many of us, we would hear those words if we were Joseph. Hang on a minute here. Don't even tell me about dreams. I have had a bad experience with dreams. I had a dream many years ago, way before Martin Luther King. I had a dream, and that dream did not come to pass. I've had a bad experience with dreams. I'm bitter. How many times do we find ourselves becoming bitter because of a bad experience? Oh, don't even talk to me about the dream thing, man. I don't really want to hear another word about dreams. God gave me a dream some years ago, and it never came to pass, and I'm so angry at God. We become so bitter so many times, don't we? Because things don't happen in our time in the fashion that we want them to, in the way that we want them to. It's been said that God's timing, he is never before his time, but he is never behind. You see, that's something that we have to understand. God is never ahead of time, and he's never behind time. He's just always on time. And his time is not our time. That's the part that we struggle with. That's the part that we find difficulty with. But that's the part that we have to remember. And so Joseph, instead of getting bitter, he becomes better. And he listens to what they have to say. They said, "We had a dream," in the middle of verse 8, "and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Does not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." This blows me away because this man, after all these years, after this valley experience that he's still in, his faith in the Lord, his confidence in the Lord is still so solid and still so strong. Here he is. He's still waiting for his dream to come to pass. And he's putting it aside. He still believes the Lord. He's still saying, "Hey, listen, my God is big. My God will reveal to you what your dreams mean. Tell me what they are." What a confidence he had. You see, back in these days with the Egyptians, they had a huge emphasis on dreams. They believed that dreams were very symbolic. They wasn't just something weird that you ate before you went to bed and you had agita or something. They really believed that the dreams were going to come to pass. And the person that was to interpret the dreams, they were responsible for that to happen if they said that this is what the dream meant. You don't notice any reservation on Joseph's end, do you? "Well, I kind of know this God. I knew him back in, you know, when I was with my dad, Israel, you know, and I think that he might have told me. I'm not sure, though. I think he gave me the interpretation to my dream. It hasn't happened yet, so I'm starting to doubt God a little bit here. I don't know. Maybe, how many times do we do this? I think I heard God, but I'm not sure I heard God. I might have heard God. I was pretty sure I did, but things haven't happened yet the way that I thought they were going to and the timing I thought they were going to. So I'm not 100% I heard God on this, but I think I did, and I think I know this God that might be able to help you." Instead, he says, "Tell me your dream. My God will reveal it to you." No doubts. No concern that he wouldn't have what he needed to reveal to them the interpretation. He's so confident in the Lord. How confident are you in the Lord? When somebody does come to you and you do actually bend your ear to listen what they are going through, when you do discern their faces and God gives you a heart of mercy and he's breaking your heart for what breaks his, and they begin to open their mouths and they start to tell you their problems. And sometimes people are going through things that are so heavy in your mind, you're thinking, "Oh my gosh, you have no hope." But then in your heart, the Lord reminds you, "I can do anything. With me, all things are possible." How confident are you to express that to that person? And you know, the more confident you are in the Lord, the way that that happens is the more you get to know the Lord. The more you get to know the Lord and you walk with the Lord and you experience him in your everyday life and in past victories, God brings you through valleys and he brings you to the mountaintop, and you're able to look back on those things and reflect from those things and draw strength in those things, and you build a testimony. Now it's not just something you read in the Bible, but it's something you experienced in your life. So when you're ministering to somebody, you can say, "Hey, listen, I've gone through it before. I've seen him raise the sick. I've seen him provide for those who are in need. I've seen him do the miraculous. My God is big. Tell me what it is that you're going through. We're going to pray right now. He can do anything. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can even ask or think. What are you going through? My God is able to meet you. Did you know that my God, when he revealed himself to Moses in Exodus, that he revealed himself as I am? What does that mean? I am whatever you need me to be. God said that he can be whatever you need him to be. Do you know in the book of Corinthians, Paul said that God is the God of all comfort. So whatever you're going through, he's able to comfort you. I can't, so-and-so can't, pastor can't, but God can. He's the God of all comfort. But you see, you can't know those things if you're not reading his word. And you're not spending time with him and walking with him. These things are brought to remembrance by the Holy Spirit as you put it in your soul, as you put it into your heart. He brings them back up for you to draw on in time that you need to. Joseph says, "My God will give you the interpretation. I have no doubt about it. I have no fear that he won't be able to. He'll tell you exactly what it is that you're going through. Tell me, please. I want to hear. And so in verse 9, the chief butler told his dream to Joseph. And he said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded. And her blossom shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. Now, if that was brought to me, I just think, well, you're going to make some really good grape juice. I don't know what you want me to tell you, bud. What are you so troubled for? But instead it says that Joseph said to him, verse 12, this is the interpretation of it. Don't you love it? Joseph's so in tune with God that the very next verse he gives him the interpretation. You see, that's how I want my relationship with Jesus to be. Like I was thinking about this morning as I was driving in to work. I was thinking, man, back when I first started walking with the Lord, really walking with the Lord, not because remember, you don't get grandfathered into the kingdom. You're not saved because your parents are saved. You're not saved, you know, because your mom and dad have been bringing you to church as you're a little kid. But when the relationship with Jesus became real to me, I remember when I first began to cultivate that, my prayer time in the morning was very routine. I would do the same thing, and I'd pray for the same things, and I'd get in the same position. I felt like I had to get on my knees, literally prostrate before the Lord. I wouldn't get my coffee. I wouldn't eat my food. I wouldn't do anything. The very first thing I would do after I went to the bathroom in the morning is I'd get down on my face before the Lord and pray. That's how I started every single one of my days. And when I would do that, that was like my prayer time. This was my time with the Lord. And I knew if I didn't do it right then and there, I would start being busy with other things, and I would never get back on my face before him. So I feel like I had to do it first thing. But as I've been walking with the Lord now for some years, what the Lord's kind of shown me is that your prayer time doesn't end. It's not in the morning, all right, Lord, these are all these things, 20 minutes worth of prayer, half hour of prayer, whatever it is, 10 minutes of prayer, whatever you spend with prayer. You know, it's not, this is it, Lord. I'm done. Here's my day. I'll talk to you tonight before bed. What the Lord has done in my life is that it doesn't end. There's no stopping talking to him. You understand what I'm saying? In a sense, there is no, in Jesus' name, amen. Not that I don't pray in Jesus' name, and not that I don't say amen, but we use that as like a signature. Like we're checking out, like, peace out, God, right? Like that's it for today. I'll talk to you later. When in all reality is, it doesn't stop. Now my prayer life has turned into where, all right, Lord, I'll catch up with you in a few minutes. I'm going to talk to somebody. I'm going to do this. I'm going here now, Lord. I'll talk to you in a few more minutes. And all day long, I'm talking to God. And that's how it should be in your prayer life. All day long, you are talking to God. You are drawing strength from God. You are looking to God. That there's that communication, you see. And the only thing that causes a breach in the communication is sin. And the very moment I sin, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me, to cleanse me, and to wash me with his blood. 1 John 1:9, and my fellowship with him is restored. And I walk in the light as he is in the light. And so I repent of my sin, and my fellowship is instantly restored. If you're here tonight, real quick, before we move on, this is a tangent that I'll always go on. If you're here tonight, and your fellowship with God has been broken, and you are so tripped out, you are so confused, you are so lost, wondering, how do I get back to God? This sounds great, it sounds good, but I don't know what to do. I'm so far. I'm so deep in my sin. I've done everything opposite of Joseph. I've been wallowing in my woes. I'm angry at everybody else. I'm bitter. I'm mad at God. He hasn't been doing the things I've wanted him to do. How do I get back? Confess your sin. Agree with him about the sin that you are in. Get right with the Lord. Cry out to him. And in an instant, your fellowship that was broken will be restored. He's so incredibly gracious. And he's so incredibly in love with you. His mercies are new every morning, amen? His faithfulness fails not, doesn't fail. How awesome the Lord is. And there's this communication here. Back to the text. There's this relationship here. No Bible, no Holy Spirit like we have him today as New Testament saints. Just Joseph clinging to the revelations, the visions, the dreams that God had given him, the instruction that his fathers had taught him. And he's walking with his Lord. Isn't it unbelievable? And it's unbelievable, too, how God will work with you, how he'll work in you, how he'll work through you when you cultivate that relationship with him. I want to be that guy that you can come up to and talk, call me, pop in. I'm not prepared. It happened yesterday. It happens to me all the time that you just come into my office, come up and see me in front, come up and see me in the foyer, and you speak to me. And because my relationship with God is so in tune, as you're speaking, I'm praying, which I do. Sometimes with some of you longer than others, but I'm praying. Ask God, just give me something to say back. And I want it to just be instant. Just his wisdom pouring forth. You understand? That I can just speak a word into your life. That I could speak God's word into your life. Not to glorify myself, but to glorify my Father in heaven and to help, encourage, build up the saints. This is what it's all about. Joseph, so in tune with the Lord. Joseph, so tight with the Lord. The very next verse, he interprets his dream. There's no delay. He said to him in verse 12, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches, they are 3 days. One more thing real quick before we see this. Every time you hear from the Lord too, it's never, well, I think this is what the Lord wanted me to tell you. No, it's everything yes and amen concerning the Lord. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is what the Lord has spoken. It's a matter of fact. It's not debatable. It's not up in the air. He says, this is the interpretation, verse 12. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee to the place that thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup in his hand. And after the former manner, when you were his butler. But think on me, he says in verse 14. Now we're kind of being let in on the humanity of Joseph, which kind of feels good because this guy's been like a super saint this whole way through. Now all of a sudden we kind of see what's really going on in part of Joseph's heart. He pleads in verse 14 with the butler saying, think on me, or remember me when it shall be well with thee. And show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. I'm going to hit on this more at the end, but Isaiah 2:22 is an important verse for us to know. It reads this, don't put your trust in mere humans. They are as frail as breath. What good are they? I'm going to exhort you real quick. In case you have to leave before I'm done, or in case you don't hear the end of this teaching because you're not listening anymore, please do not put your faith and trust in man. When you put your expectation in man, they will always fail you to some degree or another. Joseph, in his humanity, did that. He said to the butler, listen, this, I'm sure of it. This is the interpretation of the dream. And once God delivers you, because when God speaks, it's going to happen. Once you're standing before Pharaoh again, once you're, you know, restored back to your rightful position, once you get there, remember me.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let it ride and hit the ground.